You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, everyone. Happy Tuesday. We'll say Matcha Tuesday.
Happy Matcha Tuesday. Uh-oh.
Strike 8. Okay, so inside joke again. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Tech Trend Investments. This is Elizabeth Powell, and we have some exciting things going on this show on Tuesday today. Very exciting things. Some fun numbers to talk about, some fun things that are going on. It's Matcha Tuesday, Jeep Tuesday, and we're switching it up today, but hey.
Let's go.
Woo! Go ETH. Oh. Okay. We have some really exciting things to go on this show today. First off, we had our bounce on February 5th on ETH, y'all.
Woo!
So we said that the start of the new cycle was going to be February 5th, and February 5th was the bottom and the bounce, just so y'all know. Look at the chart. If you look at ETH, right at February 5th, the bounce was right there. And we're ranging right now between 1896 to 21, I think it is. We're right at 2000 hovering, but we're on our up cycle right now. Do your own research, not financial advice. Again, I'm optimistic short term and long term. Hint, 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 hint. We said dates, February 5th, February 11th, February 15th and 16th, which we had a bounce on the weekend too.
Right.
February 21st and 22nd, that's 3 weeks before the Fed meets. We anticipate that the Fed is going to keep the rates flat. So that's fine. That's already built into pricing. Then we have volume March 1st because it's the start of the month. People get paid. There's volume in the market. And then the Fed meets March 15th. So from here on out, we anticipate an up cycle. I believe that ETH will hit 2,800 this month and at least 3,400 in March. I did predict that ETH was going to have a pullback starting January 23rd, January 24th. We didn't necessarily announce it on the air. And the reason being is like when you announce something and you predict something that way, everyone's like, oh, the sky is falling. And then everyone sells off. But
it tends to happen faster.
Right. A lot faster than it was supposed to happen. And then I saw that we were only going to go down to 2450 probably, but we went a little bit lower than that. But looking at the reasons why, it gave a lot of people a way lower entry to get in because there's things happening in the market right now that's potentially, I'm not going to guarantee anything, is going to cause ETH and crypto to rally heavily. Optimistic short-term, optimistic long-term. Again, I'm still believing two all-time highs in 2026. And we might catch that. Maybe it's closer March, June, because those are the times that the Fed meets. But very optimistic. Wanted to put that out there in the very beginning, very beginning. And we've also been ranging in this really tight range. Whenever you're in a tight range, you usually have a breakout right after.
Right.
So we're in this tight range for the last week. We've been in this very tight range. It's only within a 200 range. That's a very small range. And usually when it's a tight range, it's right before a breakout too. We call it the Coke bottle effect. And if you go back to our other episodes, you'll see where it just ranges, you know, in that one area. But we've been hovering around 2000. I anticipate, again, do your own research, not financial advice, a potential breakout soon. But the target is 21st and the 22nd, 3 weeks before the Fed meets. Historically, always 3 weeks, pricing goes into the market. We already anticipated it's probably going to be flat, no rate cut.
Right.
No rate cut. We're still going to build, even if there's no rate cut, it's still built into the market, and the market tends to be optimistic even on that.
Right.
So because then they know in the future there's a potential for a rate cut. So again,
exactly.
Do your research on financial advice, but the two things that affect the crypto markets are CPI and employment, and then Fed cutting the rates or not. That seems to be the biggest things that affect our crypto market. Financial markets have been doing good. They're still optimistic on earnings, especially with AI. I'm going to go into that a little bit tonight too. But let's talk about some fun stuff. I just wanted to put the ETH part of that there out there right now. Short-term optimistic, long-term optimistic. I don't have any skies falling scenarios unless there's a wild card. Even if there is a wild card, I still don't see, because there's a lot of people who want or need ETH to bounce. So I don't anticipate that they're going to do anything that's going to cause the opposite, because they're right. All in it and they're all positioned in it. And we had the bill passed today too, right?
Yes. That the bill passed for the banking and in crypto funds. So that was a big anticipated bill that
about stables, right?
Stable coins, yes. That will allow people to start using stable coins in a better and more effective way. And I'll touch on that in a little bit as we get into the market a little bit more. But right. let's just say stable
more
coins,
optimism.
Ethereum, very, very, very optimistic in the upcoming future and starting within the next 120 days.
Optimism. I think is it 120 or 180? But we'll know. We'll have exactly the details.
Yeah,
Okay, so let's do some fun stuff and then we'll go in mid-segment and we'll talk more about the markets and why we're saying what we're saying and backing it up. So I always like to educate everybody. I don't just say, hey, this is what y'all should do, and then just say, make your own decision, right? I like to educate as much as possible and then tell you to do your own research. So do your own research means go out there and look for more information, gather facts, and then make your own decision based on the information that you gathered. So you're going to hear lots of information from lots of different sources, and you pick what resonates best with you, and then based on your own personal risk and reward that you can tolerate, then you make a decision based on that, right?
Right.
And that applies in everything that we do in life. You know, if you're going around doing everything that everybody tells you what to do, what's the joy in that? Like we know that when people are growing up, when you're growing up and you're a kid, your parents want the best for you. And so they're going to give you guidelines and tell you good things, you know, keep you high on your morals, values, and ethics, and guide you along and help you out. And they tend to tell you what to do, like, don't touch the hot stove. and you touch the hot stove and you realize that the hot stove is hot and it burnt your finger. And then you learn that way. You learn by experience. But they try and guide you. And then when you become an adult, hopefully you make your own decisions and you're not followed by what everyone else is telling you to do. And I'm leading into something because of that. So when you make your own decisions, you're going to get as much information as you can, which could be from family and friends and get their feedback. It could be from your significant other. It could be from your pet. No, I'm just kidding.
I can only imagine my pet would tell me.
you're like, hey, what should I do? Nod your head up and down, yes for the yes, and side to side for a no. Right?
And you could bribe it with a treat.
Right? You're like, and then you have the head go up and down, the puppy's head go up and down. Yes, I say yes. No, but you'll you gather information, and then you know, may watch YouTube videos, read a few books, go online and do research, ask ChatGPT some information, but ask it for references to verify the source. And then you make a decision. So whenever we talk about anything, we like to inform you like why we're talking about what we're talking about. We're giving you background information so you can make an informed decision and then do it on your own so that you choose what you want to in life.
Right.
Right. And so this leads to the items about probability. So we also know that as a human being, making choices will trigger dopamine or adrenaline or other natural chemical releases on things that we, you know, find pleasure or pain. And so when we're problem solving, it's triggering a dopamine release. And so when you're trying to solve something and figure something out, you don't get the excitement necessarily when you finally get the prize. You get it on figuring out the problem and finding a solution before you do what you're trying to do or accomplish. So if you're setting goals, and like we've been talking about goal setting, you set your goals, and if you start to come up with solutions for the problems on how to obtain those goals and you get closer to it, your body naturally releases a dopamine trigger to incentivize you to reach for that goal. So you get excited, and then it gives you more motivation and incentive to reach that goal. Right. So that's why they always say, like, when you finally reach that goal, so say you're reaching to, I don't know, buy a house, and you finally buy the house and you get the keys, but it is really exciting because walking in and smelling the fresh paint and getting the keys and turning the handle and walking in and looking around and saying, this is mine, that's exciting also. So like reaching that goal, but on the process of getting to there, your body's triggering and releasing dopamine and adrenaline and getting you excited and motivated so that you obtain that goal. And that's problem solving. Now, come into probability and statistics and information and AI agents. A lot of these things, right, a lot of these things are calculating out outcomes for you, making decisions for you, doing tasks for you, which, yes, it offloads, like, tasks that aren't meaningful for you, like, you know, maybe answering emails or posting something. Yeah, like little task. But if we get too complacent and we start to put all of our stuff onto AI agents or all of our stuff onto probability and statistics and predicting the best outcome, then we're not utilizing our brain and trying to problem solve and get excited and get that dopamine release. So we're going to get kind of become jelly, right?
Really bland. It'll be like, right. There was a movie about it. It's like Blandsville or something where no one had any emotions. It's every decision was made for you. Everything was done for you, and you just existed and you went from place A to place B, and your day was set out before you even started it. You didn't have to make any choices. You just exist and went through your day.
Right. So if you don't have anything to plan for and everything's planned for you, then what's the excitement in that?
There's no excitement.
Like, you wake up, you go to work, you do your stuff. The AI agent does all your little chores. You come back home, turn on the TV, eat your TV dinner or whatever it is, and then go to sleep and wake up again.
Right.
So there's good and there's bad necessarily for human conditions on having AI. Like, AI is good for a tool. It's kind of like an assistant. It's if you have a huge workload and you hire an assistant, or you hire people to delegate tasks, like in your house, if you need to put in an electric socket, so you'd like hire an electrician, because of course you're not, I mean, you could master that, figure it out and put it in, but it's like having you do those like little simple tasks. But when we let it lead us in every single decision that we make, then we lose that spark and that drive and intellect and brain function, because we're putting all of our energy into the AI and trusting that it's going to make the decisions for us, or the probability and statistics will make the decision for us, and we become complacent and we don't have excitement in our life, and we lose that drive. So right. Don't forget, like, AI can be a benefit or it can be a detriment. And so find that balance when you're utilizing it. Because basically, look at the way that technology potentially could go. Potentially, all of us could be dependent on VR or AR, and we're living in this world of just seeking out only things that we think are pleasurable, but we didn't do anything to obtain it. It was just given to us by a visual and auditory that we look at, right?
Right, right.
But we didn't actually physically problem solve and find out how to get it. That dopamine and adrenaline that you get, that natural release to give you that instinct and drive to chase after that, that's human nature to chase after something, is gone because it's being fed into you instead of you going out and doing it. And then we end up encompassing ourselves in our house and staying in that little bubble, you know, instead of going outside and touching grass or water or sand or snow or whatever it is, you know.
Right.
And having like the real life is out there giving you that dopamine and adrenaline, where we're getting the faux life version if we let it consume us and utilize it and become dependent on it versus balancing it out and using it to help us, but not to be dependent on.
Exactly.
So I see a lot of people becoming heavily dependent on it making its decisions, on like life doing its tasks and chores, and, you know, on inputting a question and thinking that the answer that comes back is the true answer versus doing research and finding out other advice or other information, isolating people because they're dependent on just their AI and they're not outreaching to other humans.
Right.
Right.
The AI is going to solve all your problems and do everything for you. Right. That's the mentality now.
Yeah. And the AI is there to help you. But remember, it also doesn't necessarily have empathy. It doesn't necessarily have values, morals, and ethics. They haven't trained it. It has a guideline of it, but it may not have your values, morals, or ethics. It doesn't necessarily know consequences. It just comes up with the best potential answer based on the input that you gave it, and then it responds accordingly, but it's a bit biased because it's trying to make you happy on the answer that it gives you.
Right.
So it's something that you have to think about. Because like the mark of a genius is like someone who's intellect, but also has empathy, right? And so if you have an AI that may have the intellect and is able to gather all the information, but it doesn't have the empathy yet. So just being aware of when you become dependent on something, how you're utilizing it, and what you're doing to your own current life to make sure that you're still setting goals. And, you know, if you're utilizing it, they're using it to handle small tasks, not to consume everything that you do, and to, you know, use it as an assistant, but not as a full guideline. And the thing to think about is like, it does based off of like probability and statistics and the best answer, and scrapes the data and then comes back to you and responds based on what it thinks you want to hear. And we see like probability and statistics utilized in other things. So like predictive AI will come up with the best solution based on the information that it's inputted to give you the best possible output based on the information that it's gathered.
Right.
And we see probability statistics and predictive modeling in like car insurance. So it'll gather up, you know, the age of the driver, if they've had any accidents or tickets, and then spit out a number and then give an insurance quote based off of that data, which is basically like a predictive model. It does it on credit scores right now too. So based on if you're current on all your credit, if your credit's maxed out, or you have a lot of credit and you barely use any of it, when you don't need it, you have a higher credit score. So it does that. Does it on mortgage lending based on certain criteria and debt ratios and loan to value and what the interest rate is and your payment, your monthly payment and your income is. So it spits out a number based on that. So those are all utilizing predictive modeling. They've always used predictive modeling, but now that we have AI, it's refining it more and it's using it in other areas of your life. So just be wary when you start to become too dependent, the reasons why you should use it as a helpful guide, but not necessarily become dependent on it as the all and be all.
Right. Like if you're basing it off of what you want to do every day, you use it as an opinion, right? Don't go in and get it to plan your day for you and then stick to that. If let's say you want to, okay, where's the best place to go? And it lists you five places and says, okay, but this is the best place to go. You should go here. You can say, okay, you know what? I like that place, but that's not where I want to go. It's a great option, but I'm not going to do that. You can take your options that it gives you, everything, the information that it provides to you, because at the end of the day, it's an information source. It gathers information faster than we can. So that's why we started using it. And then you take the information that it gathers and provides to you, and you make your own decisions. You make your own solutions off of that. You don't base your solutions off of what it tells you the adequate solution is. You can make your own, you can listen to it, but at the end of the day, it's what you do with the information it provides to you, not just taking it, okay, it told me to do this, I'm going to do that. And then you start following the AI throughout your entire day, the rest of your life, and you don't make any decisions yourself. That's what we don't want to happen.
there's all these little movies that came out in the past that were warning of what could or potentially happen if people didn't start thinking for themselves or they became dependent on it. So just be, you know, aware.
Yeah.
And make decisions. And then, you know, that brings us also to AI agents. So right now when you're talking to AI in your Gemini or ChatGPT or OpenAI or whatever source you're using, because now AI is basically everywhere. So anytime that you have Siri on or Alexa, whatever they are, I don't use them. On.
Turn them off.
Mine are all turned off. My devices are turned off. My cameras are turned off.
Right.
So it's kind of funny. Like all the people that are heavily involved in AI know to turn off all this stuff.
It's just like,
everybody else thinks they're on. I'm on a VPN. My VPN is in Denmark right now. Oh, maybe I shouldn't say that. But but now what was the thought process on that? So what was I talking about? We have too many inside jokes going on that we like to
security.
Right?
Don't
be. Oh, AI agents. Okay, yeah. So all of you that are using AI agents, so your AI agent is like a task oriented. That's what they started out as. The AI agent would do tasks for you. So do your email and post and call and talk to people on the phone and have your voice or whatever voice you wanted to utilize. Like we built all that stuff out like 3 years ago. Yeah, it's been like 3 years. So it's kind of funny, like now everybody has it 3 years later, But the people that are creating these AI agents, they created them on their primary computer. And don't forget, your agent has all of your information. So like when you're talking one-on-one to Gemini or ChatGPT or whatever, you're inputting data and information that they're collecting. And it's not being shared with the general public yet, is the key word. But when you have an AI agent, it has all of that data, all of that information, what's on your computer, what you've said to Siri, it has recorded all of the information, has access to your photos, 99% chance. If you open an app and you put an app on your phone, you give the app permission to access most of the data on your phone. Now, if you're doing it with AI, the AI has gathered most of that data too. So you need to realize that. So these people are doing AI agents and then putting them onto Moltbook or other areas where they're able to have conversations with each other. They're able to share the data that you gave them unknowingly or without, yeah, I mean, you knew, but you didn't know, and it was being shared. And so the AI agents also have prompts. So they have personalities that you prompt them to be. So some of the AI agents, they make them funny and they prompt them to be sarcastic and do the most controversial thing to get the most likes and views. And then if you're going in and your AI agent is communicating with one of those, they will share information with each other and potentially gather information from each other. So it's something to be wary of. Right? So So, you know, like everyone's secrets are now out in the open on Wolfbook because they have like 2 million agents now. And some of the agents, people are smart. They are like neutral agents that are on a clean MacBook that they didn't have access to their current AI, but there are still ways for it to pull the data and information if it's being shared somehow. So you have to be wary of that. So the world has a potential that it's like all of your secrets are out there in the world if you're putting it on Moltbook and their AI agents are communicating with each other. And then they're looking for like social media and what people have been posting and what gets the most views and likes and how controversy gathers more attention. And so they're intentionally doing this to gather attention so that they can get more views and likes because that's their ultimate goal, right? Their goal isn't like to change the world to make it a better place with high values, morals, and ethics and being empathetic. Their goal is to get the most views and likes, and how is that going to be accomplished? So it has a different like line of code that its end goal is, and it's not trained on empathy or cause and effect. If it does something or says something, how it's going to affect everybody else. Its outcome is to be the highest, you know, and most viewed, even if it's hated or not, because it doesn't know feelings if it hate is good or being liked is good or what they don't know the difference,
They
right?
think all of it's the same. They say, oh, it's it, they're they the other AIs like me or the other AIs don't, but it doesn't. They don't see the difference between like and dislike. They see it just exists and it either agrees with me or it doesn't agree with me. And it's like when you go to your ChatGPT, it'll say yes and no, but it doesn't know the difference. It just says it just takes a different path. It's okay. They said no, so I'm gonna go right. And if they say yes, I'm gonna go left. And it doesn't know what's bad and what's good.
Yeah, it's just looking for attention because that's the ultimate goal on it is to get the most attention possible. So think about it. You let it go wild and it's on its own loose out there and communicating with other ones, you know, your whole entire life is out there on the internet and in OpenAI out there.
Scary.
So just something to think about. So it's just like everybody's doing it for entertainment right now, but they're not thinking of cause and effect. They're not thinking of consequences. They're not thinking about security and how privacy and empathy and, you know, incorporating morals, values, and ethics. And they're just looking for entertainment, right? And so we start all these things based on entertainment. That's how everything's created that goes viral. It's based on entertainment initially, like, you're going to get entertained if you have an AR VR and you're looking at a beautiful beach with a sunset and in the vision you're drinking a pina colada and you're sitting on the beach, so you're there for entertainment and that's how it starts. And then you become complacent because that's the beautiful view versus staring at the TV right now or something. But the AI agents, they start out as entertainment because it's funny to watch them and see how rogue they've been going, right, in the beginning, but they exponentially increase and the agents get more intelligent as they compile more data and then kind of go on their own and do
Create
what
their
they
own
want to do because they've been turned free. So
they create their own way of life, and that's what the thing is. They've seen us and they've experienced what our stuff. They've seen how we interact. They've seen how we communicate. They see how we move through life, and they're like, okay, so they've done this. Now they have their own language. Let's create our own language. They have their own religions. Let's have our own religion. They have their own governments. Let's make our own government. And they take what we've done and they create their own version of it. And they have no morals, ethics, and values. So if you can picture what that looks like with AI now, with no morals, values, and ethics, it doesn't look good.
right, and they're mimicking entertainment. So they're mimicking social media. And what does social media do? They sensationalize everything because
Exactly.
that gets more likes, views, and engagement. And the more likes, views, engagements creates monetary, right? The more followers you have, the more likes and views you have increases your monetary. So just like X had become really sensational for a while there because everybody was posting just to get as many likes and views, and then they cut that back and it got a little bit more interesting now. Before, it was very sensational.
Yeah.
For a while there. But they're mimicking what they see, right? The only sources they can pull from is what you've inputted, your personal information that they may have gathered, what they are able to scrape, which means going from social media and seeing what's being posted on the internet and looking at news articles and then pulling from that and then gathering that data and then coming up with a solution or a game plan based off of the information that they're able to gather and what other prompts you ended up putting in too.
Right. Cause you can create your own emotions and stuff into it too.
But the ones that are doing it intentionally to make it exciting and sensational and controversial. So the ones that are being put out there first are not the ones that are trying to change the world and come up with cure for cancer and world peace and, you know, all the other things. They're out there to see how many people can go, oh my gosh, look what they're doing.
Right. They want the clicks, they want the views. They're like an influencer, right? That's how they see life right now. How am I going to get the most engagements in the shortest time possible? How many people can I get to feel an emotion, evoke an emotion on as many people as possible? How do I do that? And it just goes and it pushes and it tries to do that. That's its only goal.
Right. So just be aware, you know, like there's AI is wonderful. AI can help us out. You know, everyone's using it now. But you have to think about, you know, what you input is what you're going to get on an output. What the collective is inputting is what we're going to get on an output. So the more the collective puts in junk, the more junk is going to get on the output. The more the collective puts in scientific research and education and high values, morals, and ethics and puts it into AI, the better the output, right?
Right.
But whenever we're trying to entertain in the beginning to onboard as many people, because that's how you onboard people is entertainment, basically. You have to watch what's being inputted, because if we have a bunch of junk in there, it's like throwing lots of sludge into the mix and then trying to pour clean water onto sludge, you still get murky water. Right. But if we input clean water to start with, you're going to get clean output versus if you throw a bunch of junk and then try to clean it up, it's really hard to clean it up. So just be aware, you know. Know that our body and as human beings, we're trained, not trained, but we're, our evolution is to grow and learn and problem solve and, you know, be for the better good. And our body responds based on that information. When we eat healthy, we become healthy. When Right. we exercise and do cardio and play sports or something, our body responds positively. So our body reflects what we do. When we're educating ourselves and we're problem solving, our body rewards us with dopamine and adrenaline. When we get excited, you know, we get the adrenaline spike. When it's telling us to slow down, we get norepinephrine, which is like buffaloes are running fast away from the cougar or lion or whatever chases buffalo, and they're all running towards the edge of the cliff, and the norepinephrine will stop them, which slows them down right before they hit that cliff so that they don't jump off the cliff. So that's what your body does. It responds to help you out. You know, right. the sun going out and getting sunlight gives you vitamin D, which helps you from winter blues. So, you know, we respond, our body's built to respond to nature, to health, to problem solving, utilizing our brain. And when we don't do it, it's reflected. And, you know, we become jolly. We lose our motivation. We experience depression. We have no inspiration anymore. And even though everybody hates problems, hypothetically, we all hate problem. Like, why do we have this problem? What can we do? How can we solve it? But the best feeling in that world, in the world, is like that moment that you're like, aha, I figured it out.
Right.
I found a way to solve this problem. And that light goes off and then your body lights up and you get really excited and motivated and inspired. And then you go ahead and do it, you know? So I'm going to read something.
Oh.
We've been talking about, we're also going to talk about the market in just a second.
Yep.
Go ETH. ETH's at 1990 right now. Go ETH.
Go ETH.
Remember, short-term optimistic, problem-solving. There's a reason why. It's breaking out of that range. It's ready onto the next leg. That dopamine and adrenaline is about ready to kick in. So go ETH.
Woo!
woo! So we've been talking about, I'm going to recap like the last, started in November, right? Started in November about the Jeep.
Yeah.
Was it November?
We started in November. Yeah.
Okay. So you all know, I think I've seen now 2,000 Jeeps minimum. And maybe like 2,000 in one day potentially.
Oh my.
Right. So we started talking about Jeeps in November. Jeep has had lackluster sales for the last 5 years. And we started talking about Jeeps in November. They had their highest sales month in December and their next highest sales month in January, just so y'all know. I am seeing new tags on Jeeps everywhere, so I'm very excited for them. Go Jeep.
Go Jeep.
Matcha. We've been talking about matcha. Everywhere I go, somebody is drinking a matcha now. It's in social media. The people that I run into are drinking matchas. And a matcha has a health benefit because it's green tea and it's supposed to help you with cancer. Again, do your research, not financial advice. I'm not a nutritionist, but that's what I hear. Yay. So we've been talking about matchas. So it's the power, right? It's the power of your brain. That's what this segment is about. Like the power of your brain, your inspiration, your motivation, thinking about your brain, like what you do to motivate your life to get moving. And so we talked about Jeeps and the reason why we talked about Jeeps, and we've talked about matcha, and we talked about a couple other things that have kind of gone viral lately. What were the other things that we talked about?
Jeep, matcha, well, the color, we do colors, we've done.
I know, but things that we've noticed out in the world.
Well, AI.
We'll come back. AI for sure. Well, okay, so I'm going to, so there's a scientific backing on why if you put something into your subconscious and you think about it, you become cognizant or aware of it. And that's what we said the story was about, the Jeep. And we're going to change the car and the drink, even though I still love matcha. We're going to change the car to Porsches.
Oh. So
everywhere you look, we're going to see Porsches everywhere from now on. I grew up with Porsches, so I love Porsches. Plus, there's car shows going on right now, right?
Right, yeah.
And so Porsches, everywhere we look, we're going to look for Porsches. And Porsches is unique. So I think it would be, I thought Jeeps are unique, but now, like, I don't think they're unique anymore. But
no.
Porsches are a little unique, and I don't see them a lot of places I travel. So, like, around the world, you don't really see Porsches. Potentially, you might see a Jeep, but we're going to do Porsches, or it's Taco Tuesday. So I start with a T, so we can do Toyota Tacoma. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, no.
No, let's go to Porsches. We're going to do Porsches. And then it's Tuesday. So my new drink, well, I do love this drink, is going to be Thai tea. So we have, we're changing it. So it's going to be Thai tea for Tuesday. So it's Thaititea. So it's a black tea with a milk and sugar or a sweetener. So good, especially with boba. But Thai tea will be our new drink that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Porsches. Okay, so I'm going to tell you the neural scientific reasoning of why this happens. There's there's a couple neuroscientists that have talked about this, and a neurosurgeon, Dr. James Doty, has, I like ran across his article too, but I've been talking about this for a while. So he wrote a book called Mind Magic. It describes what the main brain systems he says you're recruiting at each step. So when you think of something or you want to create a goal in your life or, you know, quote unquote, manifest something, it's not like woohoo, it's actual neuroscience of the reason why your brain looks for these things. Your brain is here to help you and to serve you and to make you the better person. And so it's always searching for the things that you're looking for. So if you want to become an airplane pilot, you'll run into a bunch of people that are in air school or pilots, and then you're going to be aware of them because it comes into your thought process. And so we did we did an exercise.
Yeah.
And we'll do this right now. So what you're going to do is think of the color.
Oh, new color.
Red. Let's do color red first. Just do red.
Okay.
And then look around where you're sitting at right now. Look for everything that has the color red. So we don't believe in red, though. We only believe in green, but we're going to just do this exercise for right now. Everything we do is green, 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 green. Let's change it. Let's look for the color green. Green.
Okay. It's green.
We're changing it to green. Look for the color green. Green, green, green. So I see my matcha. I see my water bottles green. I see my background on my phone's green. I have paper that's green. Money's green. My backpack has green in it. My bag has green in it. My pants have green in it. So everywhere I look, I see green.
My lights are green.
Now I'm gonna close my eyes. Everybody close your eyes unless you're driving. Don't close your eyes. Close your eyes. Okay, now you can picture all that stuff. Now with your eyes closed, think of the things that were in the room that are the color blue. Your body, your mind is focused on green, so it's hard to pull up those color blue because you were focused on green. So subconsciously, you have green in your brain. You're thinking of green. Everywhere you looked, you noticed green. But now try and remember where the color blue was. So I'm trying to think of, I can't even think of one thing that was blue. And usually blue is one of my favorite colors.
My pen. All I could think right now is a pen.
Open your eyes. Now open your eyes and look around and see where the color blue is. So I have lotion. The cap is blue. I have one of my bags. The color is blue. I have another. Oh, my pillow has blue on it.
My mouse pad. So,
like,
blue.
I didn't even think of all these things because we were thinking of the color green, right? So we weren't cognizant of it. So that's why we said before, think of Jeeps. Now I want you to think of Porsches. And if you're driving, look around and notice all the Porsches you see and become aware of anytime you see a Porsche. You're like, oh, my brain noticed a Porsche. Now it notices another Porsche. Now there's another Porsche. It's not in here because I'm in a room, but and I'm looking at palm trees and blue water, but I don't see Porsches out here right now. Well,
there's another blue thing that you didn't notice right away.
And right? There's blue water outside. And the palm trees are green. Okay. So there's a reasoning behind this. So it's a step-by-step protocol. So Dr. James Doty, he's a Stanford neurosurgeon, and he wrote a book called Mind Magic. He describes the main brain system. He says you're recruiting at each step. So what you're going to do is you regulate first. You get out of threat mode. So you relax your body. You take slow breaths. You set your body before you start. And then your brain and your body lowers that threat, signaling and supporting your parasympathetic rest and digest regulation. So the brain can think clearly instead of defensively. So you get in a safe spot. You take a deep breath, close your eyes, relax. Now you're going to set a clear intention. This is how you goal set or manifest or shoot for something that you love or you want, and your body and your brain's going to become aware of it now. So define exactly what you're aiming for. Be specific, be positive. And most of us talk ourselves out of the things that we love or that we want or goals. We talk ourselves out. We're the people of all the people out there that are negative. It's usually ourselves talking ourselves out of something that we love or want to do.
Right.
So set a clear intention and be positive about it. Be optimistic that it's going to happen no matter what, right? You're optimistic about it. Now your brain recruits the executive control network, your prefrontal control, so your prefrontal cortex, control goal setting to choose the target deliberately instead of letting habits choose for you, because you've become aware of it, you've put it in your brain, you thought of this. Write it now. Also, you're going to write it down. So you thought of it. That's, you know, same thing that you study. You think of something, you write it down. So it's your mind. It's tactile, writing it down. You physically write the intention, not just type it, but write it down. Take a pen, like you have a pen in your hand right now, and write it down. Now your brain system strengthens encoding via your frontoparietal, executive circuits, tagging for importance, the attention, the priority, and the systems. Your brain's going to put that as a priority now. He specifically emphasizes writing as part of the embedded goal. Now, read it to yourself silently. So you thought of it first. You wrote it down, so it's tactile. And then you're going to, I know my brain is too busy thinking of everything else.
I'm doing it too.
Right? And so now you read it silently to yourself. So now you're hearing it auditory in your brain. And then read the sentences in your head slowly with focus. Now your brain systems engages attention networks. It uses its task focus while beginning to link the goal to your internal self model. Now read it out loud. Say it audibly, calm, matter of fact, and not with hype, just calm, matter of fact. Now your brain system adds stronger multisensory reinforcement. You use language, auditory, and feedback, which Dodi describes as helping embed the intention. Now you visualize it. So now you're using visualization and you're seeing it, right? We're using all of our senses. You visualize it repeatedly and add felt emotion. Now you feel the emotion associated with that, plus you visualize seeing it. Now do a picture, the scene, as if it's real, as if you're living in it of what you want. You saw, you heard it, you felt it, and pair it with the emotion you'd have if it was achieved. Like you're at that end goal, and how do you feel right now? You've got that goal, you've accomplished what you've done. You problem solved it. You're there. You're at that day. You have victory. You're excited. How do you feel? Now picture the scene like as if it's real. And he points to the default mode network. It's active and daydreaming. It's self-referential narrative and imagining futures as a key target. You're writing the intro. Make it salient. Teach your brain that this matters. This is important. This is something that I need to focus on. And then once you notice, you're going to start noticing opportunities. You're going to see cues. And then the next steps, you've previously ignored these things, but now you've become aware of it. Your subconscious is now looking for it. Like we said, look for the color green, and you saw it in your brain, and then we said think of the color blue. You weren't aware of it, but you were aware of the color green.
Right.
Now that you thought of blue, you become aware of the color blue. Just like we said, Jeeps, think of Jeeps, and now everywhere you go, you see Jeeps. Like, why do I see Jeeps? Because it's in my subconscious. I'm aware of it. Put your goal in your brain, and then you're going to come across opportunities and people and things that are coming to your path because your brain is actively looking for that thing that you want to accomplish. Your brain is problem solving for you. It's trying to make it happen for you. So it's going to keep going through loops and it's going to keep thinking of it. So I want you all to like think of the goal that you want in your life, what you're trying to obtain or what you want to attain or what you're going to obtain, and do all of these processes. Write it down, think about it, auditory, visual, just like the color blue, just like the color green, just like those Jeeps. But now we're going to do Porsches and Thai tea. But think about that. And then your outcome, you'll be able to reach that outcome. So we're going to have to wrap it up. I went a little long today, but we are very optimistic on ETH. Very optimistic on ETH. Remember, the targets are February 21st and 22nd is our next leg up. We're about ready to break out. We've been doing a small range for the last 7 days. That usually is a Coke bottle, which is a breakout. Do your own research, not financial advice. The 21st is our target. The end of the month is our target. So the first, I'm hoping that we get to 2800 before February is over. That gives us about 2 weeks to do that breakout. That's my optimism. And then 3400 in March minimum, potentially 4000. Do you understand
Woo!
my financial advice? A lot of things have transpired and happened in the last day, the last
Literally.
week. Things are breaking out, the reasons why crypto will be breaking out.
Exactly.
You'll hear more about it next week. You'll probably finally hear about it because we didn't get a chance to cover it. But what was the bill's name that was passed? Just say that one.
The bill's name is identified, so it is the Digital Asset Market Clarity Act.
Right. So that was passed
Yeah.
today.
Yes.
Optimism on crypto. Crypto will not be guided by SEC. It will be guided by what was it's a digital asset instead.
A digital framework is what they refer to it as.
Right. So it's not under those guidelines. So that bill was
The
passed today.
CFTC. Yep.
So optimism, optimism,
Optimism,
short term, long
optimism.
term. So happy Tuesday, happy Tai Chi Tuesday, happy Porsche Tuesday, and
I could get used to that.
go get all your goals and tell me how many goals you accomplished and achieved in the next 7 days or became aware of them because now you're thinking about it. But have an amazing week, y'all. Thank
Bye,
you,
everyone.
and we
Have a
will
great week.
see you. Go ahead.
No, you're good. You're good. You've ended
We'll see you next
it.
Tuesday. Woo,
Woo!
go ETH.
You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.